Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to the second of these three fireside chats that I've produced. These are companion pieces to a guide that I've written called Personal Power. You can find this guide on the internet. You can also have this guide given to you if you're lucky enough to have a friend or colleague or an acquaintance, relative, who has come across it. I've given everyone permission to share this guide as long as it's unmodified, and as well as these three lectures. So if you know someone who could use it, feel free to distribute it to them at no cost. It's got to be free. Let's get started with the topic for this next 20 minutes or so, the internet. And this is going to give you a bit of a crash course, very quick tour of the internet. Not so much how to do things as what kind of experiences and possibilities are out there for you. Now, if you're going to use your computer for personal use, which is the theme of these lectures and the guide, the one thing you will have to do is go online, because that is where you'll find what you need to truly customize your computer, to find the software that's relevant to you, to find things of interest relevant to you, such as information, such as people you can talk with. The internet opens up a lot of possibilities. One thing that I will hope to achieve with these lectures is to give you a sense of what's out there, what the possibilities are, to encourage you to then obtain the guide and make use of it, and where I go into more detail. The guide is about 70 pages and has sections on everything from maintaining your computer to protecting yourself online, which is very necessary in today's world. So I hope you take advantage of it. Now, a lot of alarmists will tell you that it's very dangerous to go online and to socialize online because there are people out to get you and all this stuff. And I think they're the same people that basically tell us never to talk to strangers. And you know what? You follow that advice far past childhood and you'll lead a very lonely, boring life because you will not have any friends. Let's put things in perspective here. Yes, you should protect yourself online. You'd be an idiot not to. Take precautions. Be sensible. All right? I mean, it's pretty simple stuff here. Get a router. A router is a device that you put between your computer. It connects to your computer and to your internet connection and acts as a buffer between the two, so that it limits the information going out and coming in to your computer. And that will help immensely with your security. You should also, if possible, get a security package that you're happy with. I happen to use one called AVG, Internet Security Suite, that I like. But it might not be suitable for you, so do some experimenting. Most of these packages, Norton Utilities and many others, have demos that you can download. And there are also free programs that will take care of one or more aspects. For example, SpyBot Search and Destroy is to protect people from spyware. That is a form of what is called collectively malware. And this is software that is malicious, that seeks to do harm in some way or to steal information and send it to the owner of the software. A lot of criminal organizations and individuals will use this kind of thing to try and get information from people, such as credit card information, social insurance, whatever else they might have on their computers. And as long as you take proper precautions, the internet really is not all that dangerous. You just have to be aware of the dangers, be aware that these things can happen to you, and take appropriate precautions, just like going out for a walk or going to a mall. You could get robbed, you could get, lynched by people, you could get, hit by falling stock off some shelf that was poorly set up. These dangers are out in the real world. So I don't understand a lot of the time why this hue and cry of, oh, be careful of the internet, it's not safe. And meanwhile, people will be quite happy if the same people they didn't want to go online, did other more active things outdoors. So let's keep things in perspective here. So let's look at what you can do on the internet. For one thing, the internet is your gateway as a blind person to the collective experience and community of online blind people. You know, a lot of blind people live fairly isolated from each other and can't really get around. Transportation is always an issue. And there are many times when we can't go to gatherings, we can't find people to hang out with or compare notes with or whatever. And the internet really breaks down these barriers. It's not the same as the, you know, personal connection you get by actually meeting people, you know, in the physical world, but it's a heck of a lot better than nothing. And to a large extent, it's free. If you're paying for an internet connection, you don't have to pay more in order to talk to people all over the world with, if you have a microphone attached to your computer, which are, they're very cheap, 10, 20 bucks. You don't need a very expensive one. Or you can get a headset, which is a combination microphone and headphones, such as I'm using to make this recording. You plug that into your computer and you go to one of these online sites like www.for-the-people.com and register with them, set up an account with them. And this is free. An account doesn't mean you have to pay money. They do have people sign up and use their real information so that you are responsible for your action. You know, if someone is being a nuisance and misusing the service, people can complain and action can be taken, right? So, pretty simple. And basically, you can talk to people all over the world. You hold down the control key while you're in a chat room with other people and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I'm interested in." You release the control key, and someone else can hit the control key in chat. And the floor is passed around, you know, as whoever gets the control key down can talk. There are a lot of sites set up along that model so that there are different rooms you can go into and you'll find a link like that'll have a name, a Welcome Lobby or Joe's Diner, and you can click on that and then start chatting. So there are a lot of those communities out there, and one of them is www.audio-tips.com. There's a dash between audio and tips, and that's another one of these free communities that uses somewhat different chat software. And there's also communities where you can type to each other or use blogs. If you go to www.blind-planet.com, you will find a whole host of resources and things there and a lot of tools for interaction. You can write a blog, which is a web-based log. I have one on a different site. It's at www.blindspots.net. And that site is set up more specifically for blind people and is a community where it's strictly about writing blogs and maintaining blogs. So that's what that site is all about. Blind Planet is a bit broader. It has other things as well, such as a shout facility, as it's called. And you can type in a message like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so," or whatever you want to say, and post that message. And it will go to whoever reads the web pages. Keep the past, I think it's 10 messages on the site, or 5 messages at a time. So as more messages come in, earlier ones get overwritten. So if you want to announce things to like a wider swath of people, you can use that facility to do that. So there are an awful lot of things like that out there. You can begin to see the power of the internet to connect people in terms of communication. I've posted these files and my guide on Blind Planet, and they're now available to anyone who wants them, and I don't have to pay for that service. It's sponsored by the people who run that community. So you can see the scope of this. There's a lot of room for contributions. There's a lot of room for benefiting from the experience of others. There are a lot of sites that you can go to find software. That's the other thing the internet does, is because it breaks down borders, it changes the whole economics of things. You can't go into a retail shop and expect to find accessible software. You can't stroll into like Radio Shack and pick up an accessible game or buy a screen reader or something like that. It's just, it would be impractical. There aren't enough blind people within the proximity of any of the malls or stores to make it worth stocking the software that would be of use to them. However, on the internet, borders don't matter. If you make a game that you want to sell, you can start an online business, put the game on a website, and you basically are selling the game. People download it and then pay for it with PayPal or credit card, and then you send them a key that unlocks the full game, or you'd send them a link to download the game if that's how your business model works. I've seen examples of both online. So because there's no shipping cost, there's no borders, there's a cost of running a domain and running a server, but it's substantially less than renting an office space or stores, it becomes economical to serve smaller markets, and hence you can find a lot of software custom-made for blind people online. You can find free, what's called freeware or shareware, which is lower-cost software. And basically, freeware is free software. So a lot of it is, of course, inaccessible because a lot of it is designed for sighted people and can be quite graphical. But persistence can really save a lot of money. I found a word processor that I used to write the guide called Jarte, J-A-R-T-E. You can get it for free at Jarte, J-A-R-T-E.com, www, of course. And once you get this word processor, you can just install it and start using it. And if all you need is a word processor, why pay for an office suite with spreadsheet and all the rest of it that you don't really need, right? So it can really pay to look around for free software. I found a calendar program called Calendar Magic. And I can't remember the URL off the top of my head for that, but it's another one of these things that is accessible by mistake. The author is certainly aware of his blind audience now and is eager for any suggestions that people might have. So that's the other thing it does as well. You can be brought in contact with people who can really make a big difference for you. They can change things in the software that they produce, or they can support new audiences that they weren't even aware that they had. I found that recently with a game called Smugglers 3 that I downloaded. It wasn't designed to be accessible, but now that the author knows that he has a fairly substantial blind audience, he's going to do more to support them in the future. So there are all kinds of things like that. The internet is very good at bringing people together and just erasing barriers. We might not be able to travel to an internet convention, but if you go this year, if you're reading this before 2009, I believe March or April 2009, you could drop in and participate on something called OcuSource Expo 2008. This is an online convention, and instead of having them in a place like a hotel in Las Vegas that everyone would have to travel to, it's online, so everyone can participate from their living rooms. They had one of these in 2005, and it was a fantastic experience. You could go and chat with all manner of people from all over the place. Didn't matter where you were. And people could participate from anywhere. There was one fellow that was escaped the 9/11 incident. He was in the World Trade Center, and he escaped with his guide dog, and we got to hear his story. And a whole bunch of people, software developers, one fellow developing the Kurzweil software that I use to do my reading of print documents with my computer, was attending, and I actually got to speak to him briefly. So it provides a lot of opportunities for connectivity, and that's the most powerful thing that you'll find. The internet is really your gateway to all kinds of help, all kinds of free software, music, audio dramas. There are a lot of audio dramas and documentaries, all sorts of things out there. And it's really good because, like, for helping, if you run into trouble with accessible software or want to know how to do something, you can go online to one of these communities or some other site, and you can find people or messages. A lot of email is posted to the internet, and a lot of people don't realize this, but when you use email, especially when you're emailing to lists, it can be archived. So one rule of thumb here for online communication is remember that it's going out into the internet. It's going out into the world. If you write anything online, if you provide any information online in a permanent form, Just be aware that it will be there, and don't be surprised if people make use of it. When you think about communicating online, I've put myself somewhat in the public eye by doing projects like this guide. I've done podcasts in the past. I've done a magazine called Odyssey for 8 years, and that was a super experience. That really put me on the map in the blind community. And once you take a step like that, the information out there is out there for keeps. And when I started the magazine, I really had very little idea of what I was doing. So in the issues of Odyssey, you can find my address, my phone number, at least the old phone number, and a whole bunch of other things that normally people shouldn't really put out there. Now, as I've said before, if you approach the internet in good faith, people will typically respect that and not abuse what you've done. So I've had my address, phone number, and everything out there for about 13 years now, and haven't been attacked or otherwise, you know, molested on the phone or anything like that at all. It's just been one positive ride. I have had people want to meet me and come and visit. I've had people call from different countries and talk to me about various things, get information from me on games and other things of interest to me. So it can open a lot of doors. And just be aware before you enter that sphere that whatever you write online, it's like waving the sorcerer's wand. Once it's written and posted, it's out of your control. Be very careful with what you put out there. Make sure you're comfortable with it being out there, because there's no taking it back, really. By the time you, say, delete a blog entry or edit it, other people might have read it. You know, so that's the one thing to really keep in mind. The internet is public. You know, you never know. So just be on your, not your best behavior necessarily, but just be yourself. Don't assume that you're anonymous. Some sites will declare that, and some sites will provide you facilities to be anonymous, to use nicknames and so forth. But, you know, on the whole, it's a good policy online just to take it as if you were there, as if you were actually out in a public sphere, and just, you know, keep that in mind, behave accordingly. Because that will stand you in very good stead, as it did me. One of the things I'll relate to you in terms of this, identity theft is quite possible. I had someone try and impersonate me as the editor of my magazine. And he basically, I went away for a weekend, and while I was away and offline, he posted a message to the internet group that was a community based on my magazine. So this is a list of people that had all joined up, and you can send messages to email lists and they go out to everyone on it. And this is essentially how the community worked. So he sent a message to the list as me, impersonating me, saying, I'm going to close down the magazine and bye everyone, kind of thing. And a lot of people believed it. So I came home from this weekend and was like, oh my, you know, all these get well messages. And I'm like, what? I'm not ill. What's going on? And I kept reading down, and then a whole bunch of angry, why are you doing this? Why are you abandoning us after, you know, 2 years and 3 years of working? And it became apparent that someone had sent a message as me saying that they were going to close down the magazine. And thankfully, they weren't too skilled at this, and the message headers on the email gave it away. A lot of people realized that I wouldn't have approached an event like terminating my magazine in this manner, and also knew that I couldn't close down the community. There's no way. I didn't have control over that. Someone else was managing that. So I couldn't have done what this guy said I could do. And because I had been respectful and honest and kept faith with people for the time that I've been online, it stood me in very good stead. People came to my defense and started hunting down the hacker that had impersonated me. So by the time I actually got caught up with all the traffic, I really didn't have to do much just to say, hey, I'm everything's fine. I'm not going to close anything down. Relax, people. You know, because the rest of it had been done for me. It just like in the real world, people will remember and appreciate your good deeds. And if you have done things which have benefited people online, you will find over the years that it can really come in handy, and you'll be rewarded in many ways. I've certainly found this. The internet, by eliminating the the whole transportation problem, it really frees and liberates us, particularly as blind people. Transportation can be such a barrier to us, and the internet really frees us from that. I mean, all you have to do to go somewhere is type in an internet address, and you're there, right? I mean, you can't get much simpler than that. That means in online shopping, you can vote with your feet. If you don't like how a store is doing something, if you don't think it's accessible, well, that's okay. Just go to another one. You can vote with your feet. You don't have to buy anything until you enter in the information that actually tells, you know, your credit card and stuff like that. It doesn't matter how much you look around and put in your shopping cart. You're not going to be billed for it until you actually buy it. All right? So don't worry about accidentally ending up with like 60 cases of Coke or something. Not going to happen. So online shopping, just briefly, what you can do is you go to a store online, and it's a site like futureshop.ca is one Canadian one that's fairly well known and widespread. And you can log in, and then after logging in is signing in with your name and password. You have to register and have an account with them. Then you can buy things from their store. So if they have a special on a flash drive, for example, I've recently purchased an 8 GB flash drive from them. So you'd find that item in the store. You'd browse through their categories, computers, electronics, appliances. You go to the category you're interested in, or you search for keywords. You can just do a search for flash drive, and it'll pull up flash drives for you. And you add it to your shopping cart. And when you're done adding things to your shopping cart, you go to checkout, and then you add in the information for payment and shipping and everything so that they can both bill you and ship what you purchased to you. And then it will be transacted. You will typically get an email notification of this saying your order has been processed and thank you for shopping with us. And then your item will be shipped out to you and you'll get it at your door. So it can be very time-saving and also liberating because you can look at the descriptions of everything. You're not going around with someone else and, you know, you don't have to worry about their agenda like you do when you're shopping with a volunteer or something like that or a friend. It's your agenda. You can take as long as you like. You can change your mind about things as many times as you like. Doesn't matter how long it's been. It's not like you have to remember where it was on the shelf to put it back, right? I mean, you just say, no, I don't want this in my cart anymore, and it's out of your cart. Nice and easy. So there are a lot of advantages to online shopping. You do need either a credit card or something like PayPal is a very popular site, www.paypal.com. You can sign up with them. And basically, they're a middleman. So they pay, what happens is you provide them your details, like for a credit card like I do it, or directly from your bank if you want to. And they will then arrange for the money to be paid to whatever merchant you shop with using PayPal. And the merchant will then get the money he or she is owed, and you will get the item. So PayPal is a very secure, very safe service. They do a lot to try and protect their members from fraud and so on. And now one thing about this that you should be aware, spam is very pervasive these days. And what tends to happen, it's an email crime. People will send unsolicited emails, just like you get junk mail in your actual mailbox, right? A lot of mail that you just throw out or recycle or whatever. It's the same thing here. You get spam, and it can be advertisements for different products, or it can look like it's from a bank or an organization, like this is the Royal Bank, and we've determined that you need to log in and update your account with this information. And now, whenever you get a message along those lines, like from an organization like that, a bank, a financial institution, PayPal, don't click on the links in the message. Go open your web browser, go to the site in question, log in normally, and see if there's any validity to the message. A lot of people will try and fish for information. They'll send out these messages hoping people will be gullible enough to go to their site and provide them with their banking passwords and stuff. Don't do that. Just hit the delete key. If you think a message is legitimate, go to the site and go log in normally, check the news at the site. They'll tell you there if something's, you know, major is happening. I had one occasion with this with PayPal where I had a message saying that I had to update the agreement policy on the account, and I was sure for days and days that it was spam, and they kept sending me these messages, and I went to the site and logged in eventually just to check, and sure enough, it was real. So I had to then update my policy, but I did it smartly. I went to the website and not from the link in the message. I did it manually with the web browser. So just play it safe. Don't click on links and messages, and don't ever respond to spam, even if the product looks like something you're genuinely interested in. Typically, they're not. Typically, they're just far out things like Viagra and so on and so forth. So, just be very careful. The spam works because there are a lot of stupid people out there. So, don't be a stupid person. Don't make it profitable for them. Don't click on the links, right? Simple as that. So, in a nutshell, just keep things in perspective. It's foolish to say that you shouldn't go on the internet because of the dangers, as it is to say that you should never leave your house just in case you get robbed outside or something. Life is risk. There's really no avoiding it, and it's just a question of what you're comfortable with doing. Play it safe, take precautions, but don't let the alarmists and the fear that's out there block you from making use of a really liberating tool that is the internet. Now, how do you find this stuff? This is the last thing I'm just going to briefly cover here. Search engines. To use a search engine, they're like Google.com is a famous one, google.com. You go there, and on the page, you'll find a form with an edit box, an edit field, where you can type in words that you're interested in. And you type in what you're interested in. That could be gardening, that could be urban legends, that could be any number of things. Type the phrase or words in. If there are a couple of ideas like free software, comma, blind users, something like that, just use a comma and space to separate the words. And you'll find very quickly items of interest to you, depending on what you type in. It'll look for sites and find them. That's how I found out about a lot of the things that I've covered in this lecture. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot of goodwill, a lot of free software, a lot of places where people can use potentially your help, and a lot of places where you can receive help. The internet is a really fantastic place to be, and I hope a lot of you choose to join it. That's where I've taken the time that I have to make this extra long lecture in the series. The next one will be shorter, and it will cover entertainment, the fun side, the internet radio, the podcasts, the games, right? Who needs to go online and everything if they're not going to have fun, right? I mean, it's the most motivating thing and the most personal expression we have is how we play, what amuses us, what we are passionate about, and all of that is, the internet is the gateway to all of those things. So that is what's going to be discussed in the next somewhat shorter lecture. And it will wrap up the series. So I hope you join me for that. Thank you all, and good luck with your journey online. Thanks a lot. Bye, everyone.